He is waiting there for you to give you more information. He is better known for his days on Brown Zone with Scott Petrak, and he is a great friend of the show, brownzone.com. He is Scott Petrak, and of course, he is on the Fan Hotline. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm great. That was quite the introduction.
Thank you.
That was something there, wasn't it?
Scott? It was sort of a...
Andy had 2 days off. He's had a lot of time to think.
I feel good. That's why, yeah. It was sort of a scene from Stripes. I was kind of just seeing you kind of Bill Murray and... Or no. It was more like Bill Murray and Caddyshack. You know, when he's doing the military walk and he's kind of hiding because to get the gopher. I can kind of see you doing that right now. All right, my friend.
I don't own any camouflage and I'm not in Berea right now, but... I am thinking about the Browns.
But you do own a high-powered pair of binoculars, so that'll make you good enough for this conversation. right now, let's tell people to go to brownzone.com so they can read so many things going on right there. You've got your training camp preview there, players to watch, storylines to watch, breaking down a few scenarios of the possible quarterback battle. All right, let's start with the quarterback situation. And like as of right now, going into this thing, who is the leader coming out of the clubhouse?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think Joe Flacco is going to win the job, but I still believe that Kenny Pickett gets the first chance to win the job. And that's how I felt when they opened the offseason program. Just because for all the reasons we talked about, he's 27, former first-round pick. They see a lot of upside in Kenny Pickett. And for an organization trying to find their long-term answer at the game's most important position, he is a candidate for that, and Joe Flacco's not because he's 40 years old. So if Kenny Pickett can emerge as a starter and you don't think the rookies are ready, is the Browns, then Kenny Pickett, I think, is, in their view, the ideal guy to win this job because he has the upside and maybe he can be your guy. Now, he's got to play better than Kenny Pickett has in his time in the NFL, and that's the issue. And I didn't see – you know, he didn't wow me in the OTAs and minicamp, and I think Joe Flacco gives you the better chance to win. So that's why I think it's going to be a close decision, and why I think it winds up being Joe Flacco in the end. But when they trot out there Wednesday for the first, you know, full team practice and the first team snap, I think it's going to be Kenny Pickett under center.
So Pickett has to not hang on to the job for Joe to get it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Jeff. Okay. I think he needs to stumble. And I thought he began to stumble, let's say, during the offseason. I just was not wowed by Kenny Pickett. And there's plenty of time for him to change that, and maybe the coaches are seeing something different behind the scenes. You know, Joe Flacco throws it better. Joe Flacco's had more success in his career, all those things, which is a reason – you know, I think if you're trying to start the season, which is going to be a really difficult schedule, those first six games, I think it's a hard argument to make that Kenny Pickett gives you a better chance to win than Joe Flacco does. But I truly believe the Browns would love for that to be the answer, that it is Kenny Pickett instead of Joe Flacco, just because of all those reasons. Young, upside, they traded for him. I think there's reasons to want Kenny Pickett. I just think he needs to hang on to that job, and I don't have a ton of confidence that he will.
All right, if that's the case, and you're right, and Flacco ends up being the starter, is Flacco the starter until one of those rookies is ready to play?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's one of the rookies is ready to play, slash they fall out of contention, you know, or things go sideways, and it just makes sense to go to a rookie. You know, I mean, if you're 5-2 and Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders is looking great in practice, I still don't think you make the switch, right? You ride it out with Joe. I think that's just how you have to operate, and I think that's the most fair thing to do for the other 52 guys on the roster, or however many other guys on the roster, not quarterbacks. But, you know, let's assume they're not in playoff contention at some point. Then, yeah, it's, okay, which rookie is ready, and let's take a look at this guy. Obviously, you know, from a win standpoint, you'd want that to be later down the road as possible.
If you're Kevin Stefanski, or let me put it this way, who's the best fit with Kevin Stefanski of the four?
Yeah. I think all four guys fit pretty well, and that hasn't always been the case. You know, the last few years is Kevin Stefanski's tried to alter his offense and bend it to fit who's playing quarterback, and understandably so. But we've seen Joe Flacco excel in this system. And so I would say he's the best fit just because I've seen it. And I've seen it at a really high level. But they don't trade for Kenny Pickett if they don't think he fits Stefanski's system. I don't think they draft either of the rookies if they don't think so. And, you know, watching the rookies, I think they both operate well inside what Stefanski wants to do, right? The play action, to throw the ball on time. I thought Shedeur Sanders was really good at that during OTAs and minicamp, putting the ball, getting rid of it on time and on target. Now things get a lot more harried, and it's a different evaluation when there's a live pass rush, which we really haven't seen. You know, and you see parts of that in training camp when they go full pads, and, you know, you could have Myles Garrett coming off the edge and it's a sack, so you don't even count the play. So we haven't really seen that from the rookies, but I do think that all four guys have a much better kind of feel for what Stefanski wants to do than maybe that's been the case in the past.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com. Scott has a story up posted today about the quarterbacks. It's really good. And we're just talking a little bit about that. Yesterday, you posted training camp preview, five players to watch. And I like the guys you talk about, DeJuan Jones, one of them. Do you think if he's healthy and good to go, Scott, that he is the answer at left tackle?
That's a great question. I certainly think he can be. I'll say he is, Jeff. I think, I mean, obviously he has all the physical tools, and it's not just 6'8", 374.
Right.
It's good feet. It's the ability to get outside, you know, get off the line and pull and get in space and block guys. And we've seen that. We saw that at right tackle. I think he's shown that he can be a premium pass protector. I think where when he was on the field those first 2 years, I think where he needed improvement was in the run game. But, you know, he's a massive human being. So, and he's got the athleticism. So I think that's just a matter of reps and learning it under, you know, the new offensive line coach, Mike Bloomgren. So, yeah, if he can stay healthy, I do think DeJuan Jones can be your left tackle for the next, whatever, five-plus years.
Let's talk Quinshon Judkins for a second. How does give me the trickle-down on that. And if you're the Browns, you just have to assume, okay, he's gone for the first six games.
Or more.
I think you have to operate under that thought process. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes, okay, you got to get Jerome Ford and Dylan Sampson ready to go. I think we talked about it last week. Do you have to sign another running back? The more I think about it, the more I say yes, especially given the uncertainty of when Junkins is going to be here. Remains unsigned. The Browns have not made that a priority. You know, they're trying to get the legal stuff straightened out. They're still looking into the situation. So, I mean, who knows? I don't know when he's going to report. I just know he hasn't been there yet. So if he misses a week of training camp, which doesn't seem, ludicrous to say that he could miss a week, you know, that's a lot for a rookie. And then if he's going to miss the first however many games of the season, which I'm leaning toward that being the likely scenario, then I do think you need to add to that pile. And, you know, there's running backs out there. There will be running backs out there when teams make cuts. But there is a huge trickle down from the arrest and the uncertainty. And it starts with who's going to get your carries, and then it goes to depth, and then it's, okay, can you still run the ball as well as you thought you would with the guy you took at number 36 to fill that role and to recommit to the run game? All those things, you know, they don't draft Junkins at 36 if he's not going to be a focal point of this offense immediately. So I think the organization has been scrambling to kind of figure out how they're going to move on without him. And for however long that is, whether it's we're talking about practice and training camp or when we get to the regular season.
Do you get the feeling about Dylan Sampson that he could actually step in and be a guy who gets 15 carries a game, or is he going to still play, let's go second fiddle to Jerome Ford instead of Quinshon Judkins?
Yeah, I think they view Dylan Sampson as a complimentary piece. Okay. I don't think they envision lining him up snap one and saying, okay, you're going to be on the field for 50 snaps a game and get 20 touches. I just don't think they view him like that. I think he has it in him, and we saw it at Tennessee in his final year when he finally got the chance to be the starter. And I think he can do that in snippets. Can you do that for three games in a row? Sure. But do you want him doing it for 17 games? I don't think the Browns do. And, you know, we talked last week, they've been using him in the slot, right? So they really had a role envisioned for him that wasn't as a featured ball carrier. And I think that's changed. And when we talk about the trickle down, that's part of it. And does that mean he no longer is working with the receivers in the slot? I mean, he was going to receiver meetings. He was getting time in the slot. Maybe that's a change. So then what do you do with slot receiver if you were counting on him to play even 12 snaps a game at slot? So I think Samson has a capability to fill a bigger role than maybe the Browns think. And maybe part of this Judkins fallout is that they're okay. We're gonna have to try it. We're gonna have to see if he can handle the bigger workload than they originally wanted or thought he could.
Scott, are they better than a 5.5 win team? I mean, I can't. That's like the number one question I get all the time. Is it 4.5 or 5.5? Whatever it is, but can they win a sixth game? Can they win a fifth game this year? And is it fair to even ask that question?
Yeah, it's certainly fair, and I think they can. You know, that comes up every time I see my buddies is, you know, he liked the over, and I do. You know,
I agree.
I wouldn't bet the house on it. I wouldn't bet the house on it because if you start 0-6 and all of a sudden you're playing a rookie quarterback, it's hard to envision getting the 5 or 6 wins. But whether it's Flacco or Pickett, and you can start 2-2 and take a breath and go, okay, our feet are under us. You know, even 3-3, you made the trip to London. The schedule gets a little easier, at least it looks like it's going to get a little easier, then, yeah, I could see 6 or 7 or 8. And I don't want to put a ceiling on it. You know, crazy things happen. You get some momentum. I think this roster overall is still talented enough to win more than 5 games. So much comes down to how the quarterback play is going to be. And then so much comes down to the turnovers. And they were so bad in that critical statistic last year that it skewed everything. And if they just play even from a turnover standpoint, I think that adds a couple of wins from 3 right there.
All right, Scott, good luck this week. You know, we're reading all your stuff, and we appreciate you, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.
Jeff, are you buying what he's selling on the quarterback situation that he believes, right? And let me make sure I got this right, and because he just said it, you just heard it, we're kind of all talking about it, that Joe Flacco is probably going to get the nod to start this thing, but they are going to give Kenny Pickett every chance to win it. And the rookies will be the rookies. Fair? We're on the same page?
I disagree with Scott on one aspect of it.
Okay.
He thinks it's going to be Flacco because Pickett will stumble. I think it's going to be Pickett because he won't stumble. But I agree with the assessment completely in this regard. Pickett has some upside, and there's a chance that this guy actually becomes your starting quarterback and gives you a quarterback who you can have for 3 to 5 years. You know, next year, there are a lot of factors going into the idea of getting a quarterback next year. Okay, you have 2 draft choices. That's really good. To get the guy you want, you're going to have to really stink this year, I would think, because there's no guarantee. Remember, if somebody else gets the number 1, number 2, number 3 pick, it's probably because they don't have a quarterback either or one that they like, and they'll want to move on and get that guy. So just because you have an extra number 1 doesn't mean that somebody's going to take your trade offer to get the guy you want. Mm. And so I would rather find a guy this year who I can play quarterback, and he can be my starting quarterback, and he can be here for a little while. And I keep going back to what Mike Martz told us last week, where he really likes Kenny Pickett and thinks that Pickett can be the guy. And so I'm really pulling for Pickett because I don't know Kenny. I don't know him personally. All I know is that he's had some moments, and if he can go in and win that job, I think it's the best case scenario for the organization. And that's why I would like to see him do it. I do think it's the best case scenario for the organization.
I think week one of these four guys is going to be traded by then. So I'm still going to stick to my guns on that.
Yes, you do.
I think if I'm Kevin Stefanski and I want to make sure that I have a job next year, I'm probably leaning towards Joe Flacco. And I'll tell you why. Cincinnati, Baltimore, Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh on a short week coming back from London. What quarterback would I trust the most to try to get me at least two wins in that grouping so that the whole season doesn't go sideways earlier on? I don't care if management said, hey, we took a swing and a miss on a quarterback who's not even going to be on the active roster. What I'm telling you is if they start off 0 for Cincinnati, 0 for Baltimore, 0 for Green Bay, 0 for Detroit, 0 for Minnesota, 0 for Pittsburgh, 0 for 6, Kevin Stefanski could be in gigantic trouble before October 19th. And if I'm Kevin Stefanski, I'm going to trust the guy that got me to the playoffs 2 years ago more than I'm trusting anybody else. I'm sorry. We could sit here and talk about it till we're blue in the face. Kevin's got to win. And if I'm Kevin, I'm going with the guy I trust. It might actually go against what the front office is saying. Oh, don't worry about it. If we're 0-6, you know what? We're going to start one of these young guys because we got to see what we got. It's the NFL, baby. It's the NFL. And I just don't see... I just don't see Kevin, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But if I was Kevin, I'll put it that way, I want to trust a guy that knows how to win, a guy that's been to the playoffs before. I don't care what happened in Indianapolis last year. I don't want to sit here and talk about what happened over the last 10 years. I don't care.
New York?
Nope, I don't. Don't care.
Because
not
he's
one
had
iota.
Limited success since he's left Baltimore.
You know what? But he had success last time he was here, and he was with me then, and we had synergy,
and we had a brain trust.
That's right. Me
I
and
didn't
Joe.
Know that.
I'm just telling you, man. I was
I
there from a
that.
Distance. I was in the stadium while
That's
he was
awesome.
In the stadium. It was like the Wonder Twins, kinetic power. Working of one mind.
If I'm
Kevin, I'm going with the guy that's going to get me the most amount of wins. And I'm sorry, but I think Joe's probably that guy for confidence reasons out of the gate.
Here's the thing. I have a different level of confidence in Joe Flacco. Joe can sling it. You know, when Joe's 50, he'll probably still have a great arm. I truly keep looking at what he's done since he was in Baltimore. And I'll give you the numbers. In games where he was the starting quarterback, the quarterback of record, in New York, 1-8. In Indy, 2-4.
Rookie quarterback, they're trying to get on the field in Indy.
In Denver, 2-6. In Cleveland, very good, 4-1. He's not had a whole lot of success since he's left Baltimore. And just because he was good here, a year ago, 2 years ago now, I'm not convinced that he's going to step in and be able to go 4-1 in five games or something, you know, play at that kind of a pace. And if he's trying to do too much, his history tells us he throws the ball to the other team a lot.
Then you pull the ripcord quick.
I just don't think he gives you the chance to win that most people do. I could be completely wrong on that.
Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what the fans think.
We got another 2.5 hours here today.
Well, that's okay.
And we're
you
doing
can keep
the show
saying
all week.
It. Yeah, well, you might be sitting here by yourself at the end of this. But what I'm saying is, is that it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what the fans think. What does Kevin Stefanski think?
I think Kenny Pickett is the guy. That's my own personal thought.
Kevin's got to play to win. And the guy he's had the most success with out of these four,
well,
that he knows
he's
exactly.
He's only had one of them before. Of course he's had the most success with them.
Well, that's all that matters. But I'm not going to sit here and talk about the Jets. I'm not going to sit here and talk about Indy.
Well,
I'm
going to
talk about a guy that I was
that
told.
From the conversation.
I'm going to talk
guy's
about.
The guy's not been good since he left Baltimore.
A guy that I was
for
told.
A five-game stretch here.
Had more respect than any other quarterback in that locker room since 1999. And that the guys want to play for him and with him, and that he brings out something in these players
like
that somebody
that's
else
the
hasn't.
The best captain the Titanic has ever had.
They weren't the Titanic when he was here, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, you righted the ship.
you want to sit here and dwell on, you know, everyone gets bad opportunities. Everybody has bumps in the road. Everybody has, you know, problems. But sometimes, you know as well as I do, in the NFL, it's about combinations. And that combination is the head coach, the quarterback, the skill position players, and a defense that can give you an opportunity to win if you're on offense. And a lot of times you may have four of the five. I don't even know how many I listed. You might have three out of the five, and you're not going to win. What do you think they think in Cincinnati? I think they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. If you ask me, offensively, they should win the Super Bowl. But who's saying that? No one. Everybody thinks Baltimore is going to come out of the North because they're not. No one trusts Cincinnati's defense. So we can sit here and go till we're blue in the face on, you know, why Cincinnati won't win, but we all know offensively and the quarterback they have gives them an opportunity every week. I don't care. If I had Joe Burrow as my quarterback, I would believe my team could win this week every week.
When Joe was here before, they had Amari Cooper, they had Elijah Moore.
Yep.
They're not here. They had Nick Chubb, but Nick didn't play a ton that year.
Yep.
Because he got hurt. They did have Kareem Hunt. Andy, if he can replicate what he did here before, more power to him. I think that would be outstanding. I still think Pickett is the hope because, as Scott said, and I couldn't agree with him more, Joe's not the long-term solution here, just based on his age. And
it's the NFL. Is there really such thing as long-term? Win this year. Is there really long? I mean, Kansas City's proved it.
I'll give you that, but I'm looking for a long-term solution. If you look around the league at good teams, they have long-term solutions at the quarterback spot.
We have had a great long-term solution at not having good quarterbacks since 99.
Which is why I'm hoping Kenny Pickett can come in and perform at a high level and win that job. And then perform at a high level in games and give the team a chance to win.
Lou is in North Royalton. Hello, Lou.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, good. You?
I'm getting fed up with this BS of, you know, who should start the quarterback. Listen.
Oh, it's going to continue for about another 6 weeks, Lou.
Might as well take some aspirin.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, and this is to Andy, I agree with you 1,000%. Jeff, who was the head coach of the New York Jets? Who was the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts?
I don't care who the head coach was. I care who the quarterback
right.
was.
It wasn't Kevin Stefanski, and they don't run Kevin Stefanski's offense. You had Flacco came off his couch. Flacco is the epitome of a Kevin Stefanski quarterback. He's the epitome of a pocket passer. Okay? He's 6'6". He's not 5'10", and he's not 6'1" or 6'2", whatever Pickett is. And he's got hands three times the size of Pickett. So he was 4-1. Name me one team out there that loses their two starting offensive tackles and their six-man tackle rotation that's going to have a successful running game or season. Not going to happen. The only person in 2023 that played close to 17 games was Wyatt Teller. Everybody on that offensive line was hurt. You didn't have Nick Chubb. You have more of a running game now. So let's see what Flacco can do with a running game. He made Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore look like the second coming of Jerry Rice.
There you go, Lou. You tell him. Tell him what the No Row Nation thinks, baby.
What more does Flacco's never had a debilitating injury. He's never had a torn ACL. Never had a torn labrum. Never had a shattered glenoid bone. Never had anything. Yeah, he's not your long-term answer, but for this year and maybe next year until Shador gets some seasoning, why would you want Flacco to start?
Because I want Pickett to be better than Flacco.
Lou, we're good. Lou, you made a great case. I appreciate you. Well done.
On number two.
You have made the No Row Nation proud, my friend. Thank you, Lou. Thank you.
Thank you.
He's only on number two. I got a text from
my
buddy Jeff in Cleveland.
What?
Hold on.
Yes.
Breaking news. I agree with you. Andy is smoking something if he thinks Flacco is still good.
You know what? Who is this from?
Your friend Jeff in Cleveland.
Dead to me, Jeff. You're dead to me.
Flacco sucked in our playoff game and in Indy
one bad
last
game.
Year. He was terrible.
One bad game. Tell me other quarterbacks have had only one bad game and lived to see a second. Thank you. They brought him back for a reason. 216-474-0092. Lou and Rono Nation, you are the man. Thank you. Talk more about this in a sec. All right, I need your help on this. We're going to come back to the Browns here in 1 second, so just hang tight. Mayor, I probably need your help on this too, okay? Ready? You got Dan, you ready for this one? Jeff, you in? Ready?
I can't tell you how ready I am.
I know, I can feel your excitement. So we go to a wedding this weekend. Wedding was great. Had a great time. Great family there too, right?
Did you talk them out of it?
No, I didn't. Oh. No. Good couple. Good, happy couple. They truly in love. Harmonious wedding. It was great. It was just great, right? But prior to, and this is where things get lost in conversation, I need a definition. Ready? Wedding, said wedding formal. What do you wear? Jeff?
Formal?
Formal. Was told wedding formal.
Coat and tie.
Dan?
Jacket, open collar.
Mayor?
I agree with Jeff Phelps. I'm saying coat and tie.
Coat and tie. In anywhere in your mind, when you heard the word formal, did you think tux? Any one of you, Jeff?
No.
Dan?
No, that's black tie, right? Tuxedo is black tie.
Is that what it is?
I think that's correct.
I've always assumed that was the case.
Okay. My first thought was formal.
If you're wearing somebody else's clothes, you know, and you're going to have to return it at the end of the weekend, how formal is that really?
You're a strange man. Very strange. Thanks. I never once thought about that while I rented a tux. Caused a little bit of a dilemma prior to no one in the wedding party.
Fight with your wife? Is that what you're saying?
No, I just heard formal, and I wasn't the only one in the room that thought formal tux. And this was like 24 hours before the wedding. I was like, because I had said to someone from the wedding party said to, I'm trying to be nice on this. Someone from the wedding party said something to someone in the family, and they said, what's attire? And they said formal. And I'm like, that meant tux. I thought it was tux all the way. And I was going to be a rebel anyway. So I wore what, Jeff? What do you think I wore?
A powder blue tux with dark blue trim.
Yeah.
And a ruffled shirt.
With a ruffled shirt.
Bow tie. That's
1970s. Yes. Would I wear?
Cummerbund. Had to have a cummerbund.
Did not wear a cummerbund. But I did put it in the bongos like Fonzie.
Good on you. I think you went sport coat with a pair of dress pants and an open collar.
You're basking. You did not wear a tie.
Mayor, what'd I wear?
A leisure suit with a paisley print.
Yeah, baby.
Sansa belt, yes or no?
She doesn't know what that
is. She doesn't even know what Sansa belt is.
I have no idea. No, sorry.
I went. Dan Menigan called it. No tie. Dude, I have retired ties for as long as... Unless I absolutely...
Agreed.
I have to be told to wear a tie before I wear a tie. All right, well, I thought it was a language barrier thing. The younger people who were in the house, and younger I would say is under 35... So all said,
clean t-shirt.
You do not have to wear a tux, and you should probably wear a tie. Should wear a tie. There were plenty of people that didn't wear a tie to the wedding, though, too.
So. It was outdoors?
It was outdoors,
yeah,
too.
Well, it's warm. Yeah. You don't need a tux.
Got it. Okay. So, but at one point, Jeff, would you have ever thought formal meant tux?
Yeah, and I wouldn't have worn one anyway.
But that was still, at one point, if you told someone something was formal, you would expect them to black tie.
No.
You got to hear the words black tie to make you think that it's...
I think Meredith was right. If you want somebody to go rent a tux, first of all, good luck to you. And second of all, then
it's not
say,
as easy as it was.
Then say black tie.
All right, Mayor, thank you. You have set me straight. I appreciate your wisdom.
I do what I can, gentlemen.
You're good. All right, back to the Browns situation. Which one of these quarterbacks should wear a black tie tux to the NFL Awards next year after becoming the quarterback
That's
of the year?
Beautiful.
Thank you. We'll take a couple phone calls on our quarterback conversation?
Yeah.
We should. Mark is in Cleveland. Hi, Mark.
Hey, fellas. I'm rolling with Jeff, man. I don't want to see Flacco up there. I mean, he hasn't played 9 games in over 7 years. The guy had a touchdown interception rate, a 61 complete passing rating, man.
Wait, how many of the quarterbacks currently on the roster have played more than 9 games over the last 2 years?
Andy, but we know what we're getting at him, though. We know exactly what we're getting at him. We're not going to get a whole season out of him, and we're going to lose a lot of games. So we might as well do that with the rookies or Kenny Pickett. I would love to see Kenny go out there and then have the rookies follow up behind him just so we can see what we got out of these guys.
All right, put yourself in Kevin's shoes. Who are you starting? Not your shoes, man. Kevin's shoes.
Of course I'm starting Flacco then, but I don't think it's going to be lasting with him. Like I say, the guy hasn't played 9 games in 7 years. The guy got a 3-2 interception and touchdown rate, man. What are we going to do? What is he going to do, Andy? catch lightning in a bottle like last time? I don't think so, man.
I don't know, man. We got a lot of good lightning bugs around here. I'm telling you. Mark, I get it. I understand what you're saying. Thank you. I appreciate it.
See, here's the thing I think, Andy. You've said, what is Kevin going to do? My guess is this. If he has to play Joe Flacco, he's thinking, oh, my God, we're in trouble. And I don't mean that to be disparaging about Joe. It's this. Give us somebody who might be the quarterback of the future of this team. And if none of these three other guys are good enough to beat out Joe Flacco, then this is going to be a season where we sit back and wait to see who the quarterback is going to be next year. And I truly think that you're going to have a hard time winning games if somebody can't beat out Joe. And I mean, Joe can sling it. He can. And he'll win you a couple of games. But if somebody doesn't rise above his level, I think this team is destined to win 5 to 6 to 7 games. A different quarterback might give you a better opportunity to win. And whether that's Kenny Pickett, whether that's Dylan Gabriel, I don't think it's going to be Shadur. I think Shadur is going to sit, watch, and hopefully get really good in the years to come. But it might need a little more time. I just want somebody to come in and be good enough that you don't think, all right, well, I guess we got to start Joe. And I can't come off in any way other than bashing Joe Flacco when I say the things that I've said about this.
It does sound like you're bashing.
Well, I know it does. But I want the team to do better than a 40-year-old quarterback who's had very little success in the last 5 or 6 years. I want them to be better than that. So that's my hope.
I haven't seen NFL success out of any of the other quarterbacks either, so I'm not going to judge him against
Kenny
that.
Pickett two have never okay had the opportunity with and a crummy offense. I mean, they're
so
their
you're saying that coaching and player personnel on the field directly affected his outcome?
No, I'm saying he was.
You better. Just said
I he said, had a crummy but he coach. Was better. He was better than that with a crummy offensive coordinator. Dude's record is like 15-10, and the offensive coordinator was so good he got fired.
Kevin, Cuyahoga Falls. Hi, Kev. How are you?
Kev.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good, good.
So I'm going to be on Team Phelps here, and I agree everything you're saying. And I would even go a little further. If week one Flacco trots out as our starter, that would mean this last draft was a disaster and an epic failure. Because that means we didn't waste one pick on quarterback. We wasted 2 picks on quarterbacks. And think of the opportunity.
But who's making that call, Kevin? If you're wasting picks, that would be a general manager call. If I'm the head coach, I've got to put a guy out there that I trust, that I think can win, especially when you look at that schedule. By the way, on the record, I don't think all 4 quarterbacks are going to be here when the season starts. So this conversation might just be for naught anyway. Go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
I hope to goodness gracious we don't have carry 4. I really do, because I think it's mismanagement of the roster and mismanagement of our draft if that's what happens. So, and if you got 2 guys that you wasted picks on that are just sitting, doing nothing, again, that's a waste. Think of, we could have had linemen. We could have had linebackers. Think of the picks we could have used that got guys on the field rather than having guys just sit there doing nothing. So, and I'm also with Jeff. I really do hope it's Kenny. I hope he ends up being our week one starter. I think he does give us the best chance to win games. I don't think Joe Flacco does. I disagree with that sentiment that Joe Flacco somehow gives us the best chance to win games. And I completely agree. We got to have somebody more talented than a 40-year-old broken down guy that can't get on the field and stay on the field. And by the way, throws the ball to the other color team. I mean, that's not going to win you games. You know as well as I do, Andy, when you throw the ball to the other color team, you ain't going to win too many games that year.
I don't know. We got a guy who won't even be dressing these games that's making a ton of cash that did an excellent job of throwing to the other team. Right? I mean,
well, sure.
Guys, I wish it was all common sense. It's not. And how this thing plays out, ultimately, I think if I'm Kevin, I've got to figure out how to save my job. And I don't care what you say. Oh, it looks like he's safe. He's safe. There's just 3 win coaches don't stick around for 2 years in a row. It doesn't happen. And I like Kevin. Right. I like him a lot. Yeah,
which is why Kevin, we're on the same page, which is where I think and Kevin thinks, if you're Kevin Stefanski, are you banking on Joe Flacco to save your job? good luck, man. Get the resume ready.
Are you banking on two rookies that have never taken a snap?
No, I'm banking on a guy who was a first-round pick who did okay in my division playing for a team that's better than us.
Well, there's a guy who was in our division that's gone very far, and he's on the team too. If I'm Kevin, man, and I'm looking at that schedule haunts me every night. Every night.
And Joe Flacco makes you feel better about it?
No, at least I look. And if he sucks and he doesn't look good in the first game of the season, then I'm going to Kenny.
Which screams, oh my God, you're going to change after one game?
Oh my God, I've got four quarterbacks sitting here. I don't think anyone is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't know how far we can get with any of these guys. And by the way, my general manager wants me to keep four quarterbacks. So if he wants me to keep four quarterbacks on this active roster, they probably all could play in some capacity. And by the way, don't we want to see what Shedeur Sanders looks like out on the field? Like, I don't have a problem with that. I want to see what he looks like out on the field. I'm not willing to start him, though, if my job's on the line. I don't know how long it would take to get him on the field.
I was just
same with Dylan Gabriel.
I was just looking at some Flacco stuff. I didn't know this. Biggest, highest interception percentage rate of his career came with what team?
With the Browns?
Yes.
Well, there weren't enough games.
Isn't that weird?
He didn't have enough games able to equal that out.
Yeah.
Does it count how many tosses he had from the couch?
Maybe. I mean, it was lower with other teams.
More opportunity? Is that a fair assessment?
It was lower
assessment?
Every year he was in Baltimore. I'm just throwing that out. I'm just a fact. That doesn't include the playoff games either.
All right. I do want to talk about something other than quarterbacks, and we will do. Yeah, I do.
I want to talk about quarterback from now until September
10th. Here's what I want to talk about. Coming up on the rest of the show, let's bring in Mike Florio at 12:20.
Oh, good.
We'll do that, so we'll talk to him. I do want to come back and talk a little bit about NFL training camps. We have not even touched Scottie Scheffler and his dominance on the court. That's on the course. That's going to come up here in a little bit. So we're going to talk about all these things. And we'll probably get back to the Guardians at some point, too. What a great weekend they had, and they've been playing great over the last 10 games. I'll give it to them. 216-474-0092. You know the name of the show. It's Baskin and Phelps right here. 92.3 The Fan.